ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And we tend to think, well, worship is just singing on Sunday mornings or Thursday evenings or whenever we get together and we sing and we worship God. That's part of worship, but that's not all of worship. That's just a small part. There's much more to it. Here's the thing. Worship is not about you. It's about God. And it's not about how I feel. Oh, I didn't like worship this morning. Oh, I can't worship unless it's done professionally or this or that, you know. And I've heard people say things like that. It's really not about the fact that you can't worship God. It's the fact that you won't. Because you just don't feel it. Well, you know what? You know, when I was working outside the church, there were many times I didn't feel like going to work. And I did. Because my response is, hey, first of all, I'm accountable to these people at work, my boss, and the patients I would be taking care of. Secondly, I'm accountable to God. We don't need for worship up here, you know, 12 people. We don't need all kinds of instruments. You can sing a cappella. You can use a CD if you have to. You don't need all that stuff. What you need is a heart that is open to worship the true and living God. And worship is about our lives. It's placing our lives on the altar of sacrifice. That's what Paul said in Hebrews 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. You see, it's more than just singing songs unto God. It's our whole lives, laying them on the altar of sacrifice, a living sacrifice, saying, here I am, Lord. Lord, I'm here for you to use me the way you want, not the way I want. But how often do we, you know, get up and say, okay, this is what I am going to do? It's really, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I've learned over the years, when I first came up here and I was working, you know, here at the church and out and full-time outside the church and trying to get things done and getting the studies done and trying to raise a young family, I was busy. And there were times that people would call. I go, gosh, don't they know I'm busy? And, you know, the Lord is really kind and gentle and gracious and merciful. And he's like, Joe, aren't you here for the people? I mean, isn't that the whole reason that you're to be ministering to them? And, you know, it's kind of like when he gets you, and you know it, and there's like nothing you can, I mean, what can I say? Okay, Lord, you can interrupt my day anytime you want, because I know you will give me the time I need to accomplish what I need to do. Not necessarily what I want to do, but what you want me to do. So I'm going to be open to you, and I'm going to let you work. And that's what we need to do. And then you could praise the Lord. Your life is worshiping him. Remember in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, the 24 elders, which I believe are representative of the church, they're before the Lord. And this is what it says in verses 10 and 11 from the King James Version. The 24 elders fall down before him, before the Lord that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Do you realize you were created for the pleasure of God? To honor him. And there is nothing more satisfying than serving the Lord. We get very frustrated when we try to do things that God doesn't want us to do. I mean, have you ever tried to cut a piece of wood with a hammer and a screwdriver? It doesn't work. It's frustrating. That's not what they were created for. And I think the same is true for us. We were created to bring praise and glory to God. Let him use you. Be open to what he's showing you. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's just loving God. You know, I'm blown away how God can use someone like me. I was not very good in school. I was horrible in school, actually. I don't know if I ever read a complete book in high school, because I just didn't care. And, you know, my counselor said, well, you probably should just go to a two-year school because you could never make it in a four-year school. He was kind of my encourager, you know? Hey, thanks, buddy. But as I got out on my own, God was so gracious and merciful that the teachers I had in college always wanted to talk with me. They were always open to questions where after class I'd get together with them, and God guided me, I believe, into the nursing profession. I think that's where he wanted me. Why? Because I think he wanted me to learn how to be compassionate towards people, not only the patients I was caring for, but their families in very, very difficult situations. I look back on that and I go, wow, I don't know why I went into nursing. I was going to be an x-ray tech, you know, I was going to take x-rays. And for some reason, God just steered me in another direction. When I first got out of high school, that's where I went to. I went to St. Joseph Hospital in Phoenix, Arizona, Barrows Neurological Institute. And I was that back then, that's when you had to develop the x-rays. And I would do that. I was 17 years old. And I was thinking, this is what I'm going to do for a living. And all of a sudden, and I had no idea, I didn't believe in God, but all of a sudden I got directed to be an orderly. And then my plans, well, I worked on a neuro unit. I loved it. They let me work in a step-down ICU unit for neurology patients. I loved it. They let me do all kinds of things. It was incredible, the things I'm learning. Neurology is the place to be. That's what I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden, my wife and I we moved to Illinois. And the only place I could get a job was at Holy Family Hospital in Illinois. And I had to work on a cardiac, a heart unit, step-down unit. And all of a sudden, God directed me again. And I see his hand upon my life. And all I could do is praise him and thank him. And that's hopefully what I'm sharing with you this morning, is take an inventory of your life and see the hand of God upon it. Because as you do, you go, wow, Lord, you were there all the way. Yeah, I tried to go some different directions, but you got me back on track. And all I can do is praise you and worship you. And I want others to know. My story of how I got up here to be a pastor of this church in Illinois, I still share it with people. Why? Because it's a witness of the power of God, what he can do. How he could take someone from Illinois and bring them to Wisconsin and tell them 10, 11 years ahead of time that he's going to do it before he actually does it. It's the power of God, and he gets the glory. I can't say, you know, I came up with this wonderful plan to move to Wisconsin, and I worked this out. No, I had no clue how God was going to do it, and he did. And so he gets the glory, and that's the way it should be. He gets the praise. Our lives need to be filled with the worship of God. And, you know, as we live that kind of life, people will take notice, and they'll see the love of God that we have. It's a witness. Let me share this with you about worship and how it can be a witness of Jesus to those around us. We're told this. Ever since Willow Creek and Saddleback became seeker-sensitive, seeker-driven churches, there's been a tension in the church community about whether worship is for believers or unbelievers. The answer is neither. Worship is for God. However, both Old and New Testaments assume that when God's people worship, they witness. Paul summarizes it well in Romans 15:8. There we see the call of God on his people to be worshipers among the Gentiles, unbelievers, so that the unbelievers will become worshipers. Our worship given to God becomes our witness to those who observe and see it. Paul will also say in 1 Corinthians that our worship should be understandable to unbelievers, so they too will join in the worship. The context of 1 Peter 2 brings clarity to our worship as witnesses also. Verse 9 identifies us and gives us our purpose. to declare the praises of him who called you. And verse 12 then says, they, the pagans, see your good deeds and glorify God. Unbelievers see our worship often in the form of good lives, and they want to know God also. So all worship is witness. When those who don't yet know Jesus show up and share in our worship, they are hearing the witnesses of God's people. They are observing the object of our loyalty, affection, and devotion. When they see our lives lived as acts of worship before God in the marketplace, they observe the object of our loyalty, affection, and devotion. Many believers are intimidated to speak, but they do. They speak through their worship. So keep worshiping and keep witnessing. Absolutely. You know, we worship the Lord because he is God. He's the creator of all things. We worship God because all that he's done in our lives saved us and has given us eternal life with him. And we worship the Lord because not only is he worthy of our praise and worship, but our worship of God is a witness to others of what God has done in our lives, who he is. Now, if we just go around complaining all the time, if we go around and just, you know, kind of gloom and doom, if there's no joy in our life, then that is a poor witness of our God. And, you know, if you're struggling in this area, here's the solution. And I think we all deal with this from time to time, let's face it. But in Ephesians 5, turn over there for a second. Ephesians 5, we're going to look at verses 15 through 18. And listen to what Paul says here. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, look at what Paul is saying here. He wants us to pay attention as we're walking with the Lord. Be on guard, be wise, because the world's very wicked. And what is the world trying to do? It's trying to trip you up, destroy your witness. That's the whole point. The devil can't steal your salvation away, but he can destroy your witness. And we need to take advantage of the days that we're living in. What do I mean by that? Well, we're living in an evil period of time, in wicked days, and they seem to be getting darker and darker and darker. And so we need to redeem the time, how? By shining brightly for Jesus. Think about it. As dark as a room could be, it could be pitch black, you can't even see your hand in front of you. What happens when you turn on the light? Darkness is dispelled. It's gone. The light dispels the darkness. That's what we're to be about. We redeem the time. We shine brightly for Jesus. So we need to pay attention in how we're walking. We need to understand the days we're living in. We need to be wise in our walk because we know what the will of God is for our lives. We need to do it then. And the key element is not to be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, is it literal wine? Could probably. We see that today, people drunk in the Spirit and all that other garbage. But here's another aspect. Don't be filled with all the things of this world that are going to do nothing for you except hurt you. Be continually being filled with the Spirit. Now, that's kind of interesting. Continually being filled with the Spirit. I thought the moment we're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us. Is that true? Absolutely, it's true. So what's going on here? How can we be continually being filled by the Holy Spirit if the Holy Spirit is in us? Well, the Holy Spirit also comes upon us and empowers us to move the gospel message forward. And it's this empowering that we need to be filled with each and every day. Remember in Acts chapter 4, as Peter and John are arrested for their faith by the Jewish religious leaders, and they ended up releasing them, but they told Peter and John, do not speak of Jesus anymore. And they said, well, you know, we can't stop speaking about Jesus no matter what you said. And as they're released, they come back to the brethren there in Jerusalem. And this is what we're told in Acts 4, verses 27 through 31. It said, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They saw this persecution that they were facing as something Jesus already warned them about, already told them. And what's interesting is, you know, think about it. You're under persecution. What are you praying? Lord, deliver us from this persecution, right? That's not what they prayed. They didn't pray for deliverance from persecution, but for power to proclaim the word of God to the people. And here's the thing. They were already saved. The Holy Spirit was already in them, but they needed the Holy Spirit to come upon them and empower them to move the gospel message forward. And that's what they were praying for. It says, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You see, as they prayed this, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were filled with the Spirit. And what did they do? They spoke the word of God with boldness. That's what Jesus said. You're going to be my witnesses all over the place. And that was their prayer. With all boldness, telling it all. They didn't hold back. And that's what we need, the power of God to live that kind of life. And we can't do it on our own. And, you know, once you just surrender to God, notice what happens now in Ephesians 5 here, starting in verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. A life that is empowered by the Spirit of God is going to be filled with songs of joy, hearts that are overflowing with the love of God, lives that are filled with giving thanks to God, and a life that is not only submitted to God, but is submitted to one another in the fear of God. And, you know, if you're lacking that power, maybe you're not sure about it, what do you do? You got to surrender. You know, at home, I have a battery-powered weed whacker. And it does a pretty good job until the battery stops working. It's dead. There's no power in it. And then it's this big stick with plastic string hanging out of the end of it. And it doesn't matter what I do, it's not going to work. What do I need to do? I need to recharge it. Maybe we're lacking that power. Maybe we need to get recharged. How do we get recharged? You surrender to God. You be in His Word. You be in fellowship. You just love the Lord. You ask God, Lord, empower me to have a boldness to speak forth your word that I've never had before. Will he do it? Absolutely. That's the whole point of the empowering of the Holy Spirit, is to move the gospel message forward. And sometimes we let fear or other things get in our way. And I'll tell you, when you have that joy, you just rejoice in the Lord. Paul talked about it so much in Philippians when he was in jail in Rome. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. How could you do that, Paul? Because Paul was surrendered to God. He knew that no chains could hold back the word of God. In fact, when he was in prison that first time, the whole palace guard, they were getting saved. Not only that, but other Christians saw the boldness of Paul. They were on fire for the Lord. Yeah, it just encourages everyone. Continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul, in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, puts it very clearly. What we're to focus on, what we're to fill our lives with. Because, you know, you look at the things of this world and, wow, it can get really, really discouraging. You know, you see all these things going on. And let me say this, and this is just a little side note. I won't charge you extra for this. But, you know, we hear of all this stuff going on. You know, we hear of this coronavirus, right? It's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Everyone, don't panic, right? Do you realize there's more people that die of the flu than die from the coronavirus? What are they doing? Again, sorry, I'm getting off track here. I'll get back on in a minute. In China, remember all the protests that were going on? Isn't it interesting that the streets are cleared? Now that this epidemic, pandemic has started, and they're making people fearful. Stock markets crashing around the world. Well, why didn't they crash for the flu? Hey, I'm a survivor. I survived mad cow disease. Zika virus, bird flu. I survived them all. Those were all big things. Killer bees. Remember killer bees? I survived that too. It stirs the people up, makes them very anxious, very worried, and they look to the government to help them. I don't know. You know what I do? I read the Word of God, where Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Right? Even if the coronavirus is horrible, I'm resting in Him, right? That's just it. Surrender to the Lord, be empowered by Him, focus on the things of God that will build you up. And you know what? Our witness will be seen by others as we'll have that joy of the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to rejoice also. It doesn't mean that they're going to get saved just because they see us, but it gives them an opportunity to see the difference in our lives because of what Jesus has done. So let the whole world know about God through your witness of Him. Back in Judges, you never thought I'd get back there, but we are. Look at verses 4 and 5 of Judges 5. "Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured, the clouds also poured water, the mountains gushed before the Lord, this Sinai before the Lord God of Israel." In these verses, the point I want to bring out is remember and see. And I've said this often, but I think it's important for us to understand if we want to have a correct perspective of things and have the confidence to walk by faith. We need to remember what God has done in the past to give us assurance in the present. When Deborah and Barak, what they're doing here, is they look back at the children of Israel receiving the law on Mount Sinai, how God delivered them through their wilderness wanderings and the victories He had given them in the past. One writer put it like this. He said, Adam Clark, he put, "When thou wentst out of Seir," here is an allusion to the giving of the law and the manifestation of God's power and glory at that time. "And as this was the most single display of His majesty and mercy in behalf of the forefathers, Deborah very properly begins her song with a commemoration of this transaction." Absolutely. You know, here's the thing. God did this wonderful thing for them, right? And yet, in spite of all that God did, in spite of the victories God gave them, in spite of God providing for them, in spite of everything, they kept forgetting God. How can they do that? I mean, isn't that hard to believe? How do you forget God? Well, think about this. God brought them out of the bondage that they were in Egypt. He brought them to the Red Sea. Yeah, the Egyptians came after them to bring them back into captivity. God said, "You're not going back. I'm bringing you through." And God brought them through into the land of Canaan, not back into bondage. And they forgot about God. You see, here they are at the Red Sea. They saw no way out of it. How are we going to get through the Red Sea? How are we going to get away from the Egyptians with this massive army that's coming against us? We don't even have weapons. And they grumbled. And they forgot about God. And what did God do? He delivered them. He opened up the Red Sea. The children of Israel passed through on dry ground. The Egyptian army is now into the Red Sea, and the waters come crashing down. Every one of them drowns, even Pharaoh. And Moses sings a song of praise and thanksgiving unto God. As the horse and the rider, they're thrown into the sea. And they remembered God only to forget about God. What do I mean? "Moses, there's no water for us to drink. Moses, we don't have any food. Moses, there's no meat for us to eat. There's no this, there's no that." And God provided water for them in the desert. He provided manna or bread from heaven for them to eat, even provided them meat. And they remembered God only to forget God again. God brought them to the border of the promised land. They could see it. They sent spies into the land to check it out. And 10 of the 12 spies came back and said, "The land is great, but..." And it's a huge but. You see, there were giants in the land. The cities were fortified. They were like grasshoppers to the Canaanites. What happened? They forgot about God. You see how easy this is? God had given them the land. All they had to do was walk by faith. But they let the circumstances cause them to complain and grumble and not walk by faith, but to remain in the wilderness. There were two spies, Joshua and Caleb. remember the promises of God and tried to encourage the nation to go forward. But the children of Israel were determined not to go because they forgot about God and what he promised them. And we can go on and on, but before we're too harsh on the children of Israel, because it's so easy to do, right? I mean, we look at some of the things that they do and go, oh, how could you do that? And God says, look in the mirror. Ah, I hate when he does that, right? We forget about God when we're in situations that we see no way out, when we see no hope in. Lord, what's going to happen? How are we going to deal with this? And I'm sure we've all been there. Maybe some of you are in that situation right now. And you've kind of forgotten about God because now you're looking at the situation and you refuse to walk by faith, trusting in his promises.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us? As we feast on God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.